The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
On a recent fifth Sunday evening, we were blessed to have Elder Ricky Harcrow of Ider, Alabama, visiting with us. He preached a powerful message from Romans chapter 8, which focused on the fact that God saved us when we were yet sinners and even enemies of God. Join us today for this powerful and encouraging sermon that takes us from the beginning to the end of our eternal salvation.
It's a distinct privilege for me tonight to be here with you at Zion Church. It's a Bethel spot to me, and I thank you for the great times that I have experienced here in days that have passed. But today's a new day, and we must understand that we stand as poor beggars at mercy's door. I want to call your attention tonight to the fifth chapter of the Roman letter, Romans chapter 5, and beginning with verse 8 and reading through verse 11. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The book of Romans is a very familiar book to all of us, and I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. But Paul begins the book of Romans by stating his authority as an apostle. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. What a statement to began the outset of this beautiful book with the authority that he has been given from the very hand of God. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called and separated unto the gospel of God. I'm going to skip that parenthetical expression there, but he says, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ himself could have sighted the blind, caused the deaf to hear, fed 5,000 men beside the women and children, and did all the miracles that he did. But had he himself not been risen from the dead, he could not have been proved that he was who he said he was. Only that proved his identity with God Almighty. Now, as he proceeds on these particular verses, he comes to this text that I've quoted to you today, and he says, but God, and I like that statement, but God commendeth. Now, don't misread this word. This does not say, but God recommended his love. But it said God commendeth his love toward us. And the word commend means to bestow by choice. It's not an option, but rather it is a statement of fact. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want to emphasize that. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we were coming to him, but as he was drawing us to him. John chapter 6 and verse 44 said, no man can come unto me. Not that no man may come, that would leave it may or may not. But no man can come to me. No man has the ability to come except or unless the Father which has sent me draw him. The drawing power of the Holy Spirit. That is an immediate work from the very hand of God. The drawing power that God issues forth. Now, brethren, the gospel, a man told me one time, he said, brother, I love you old Baptists, but you're letting millions go to hell every year because you don't get the gospel to them. I said, well, what do y'all do with them? Y'all don't get the gospel to them. Well, he said, the Lord saves them on ignorance. I said, well, look to me like if you let them alone, Lord, to save them on ignorance. And if I preach to them and they don't accept that, then he'll send them to hell for not accepting what I preach to them. You know, that don't make nonsense, does it? But let's read it like it is. Let me just say this, that the gospel is good for what God gave it for, but there is not eternal life in this book. Now, it testifies where eternal life is. It is a testimony, not a proposition. And Paul explains that here. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, not while we were searching, not while we were looking, but God commendeth or recommends, no, but God bestows by choice his love toward us, the us, in that while we were yet sinners. You know, when I examine myself, sin stands out more than anything. My good looks and winning ways and personality doesn't stand out too much, but my sin does. I mentioned this the other day. You know, every morning when I get up, and I get up before daylight, I get up early. And I was in there, and I first thing I do is make my coffee, and then I've got about 7 pills I take. Now, y'all get this picture in the right kind of frame, all right? Now, all that is not medication. Most of it's vitamins. Now, you can believe in that if you want to, but it won't hurt you to be wrong if you don't believe that. But anyway, I was taking my vitamins, and I dropped one. And it rolled up under the refrigerator. You know, it's amazing what accumulates under a refrigerator. And I couldn't get it, so I eased the refrigerator out from the wall, and you couldn't believe what all was under that refrigerator. Well, like a good husband, I just shoved it back in its place. I got my vitamin. I took my vitamin, but I didn't have righteousness enough about me to want to clean out from under the refrigerator at 5:30 in the morning. I just didn't want to do that. Now, I know it needed it, and Miss Arcrow takes care of that in a great way, but I just didn't want to do it then. Now, what the right thing to do would have been just to got out all the trash and the lint and everything else, but I didn't do it. It wasn't no time to start house cleaning at 5:30 in the morning. Well, I want to tell you, that's how our sin is. It's with us. It goes with you. You carry death with you. And I'll tell you, when Paul began to write here, he says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not while you were looking for him, not while you were giving the consent of your will, but while you were yet sinners and going the other way, I want you to understand that Christ died for us. Died for us. Much more then, now he begins a greater description. Much more then, being now. Now, if I know what the word now means, it means this present time. Much more than now, being now justified, that has been given a new legal standing before God. You're not only just, but you are justified. Who is justified? The people of God chosen in Christ before the world began. Now, if all men were justified, then all men will be saved. If all men were reconciled, then all men will be saved. Or else we have to take the position that the blood of Christ did not have the efficacy about it to justify the ones that Christ intended to justify. I'm telling you, that all that Christ intended to justify were justified. Amen. They stand justified right now. You're not going to have to wait till you get to heaven to be justified. You're justified now. Even if there was a search made of those things that would condemn you, none could be found. Why? Because you have a new legal standing. Because the atoning blood of Christ has covered you. And when God sees you, he sees you through the covering. Or the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Much more being then now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this is elementary, but I want to tell you this today, that you were not only saved for heaven, but you were saved from hell. Hell is just as real as heaven is. It's just as real a place. They're set in contradistinction all through the Bible. But I'm telling you today, that all the devils in hell cannot unjustify one that Christ justified. It cannot be done. The possibility does not exist. Much more than being justified by blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We shall be saved. Do you remember when Jesus And in Matthew, when the purpose of his life and his eternity is set before us in this very familiar text, for she shall bring forth a son, and thou shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. How much more plain could that be? Shall. And I'm thankful today. Here's the reason, my friend, that I drive from DeKalb County down here with my two associates to Old Zion Church to tell you that what Jesus did is just as real right now as it shall ever be. It is in you and it cannot be taken away. Somebody said, well, if I believed like you did, I'd go out and have my fill of sin. I said, if you believe like I did, you'd already have your fill of sin. Anybody that thinks sovereign grace gives you a license to sin don't know what sovereign grace is. Sovereign grace constrains us to turn from those things. Listen to Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 when he said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation comes from somewhere else. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. What does it do? It educates us, doesn't it? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Now, you talk about time salvation. There it is. Yes, sir. Soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. You have an obligation as a child of God, whether you ever fulfill it or not, and many of them don't make the grade. But I want to tell you right now, today, my friends, that those that Christ have justified stand justified today, and in the last great day, you shall be pronounced justified legally and positionally before a thrice holy God who demanded perfection. I'd like to tell you that all of God's children persevere, but they don't. I'd like to tell you that. I can give you names and addresses. Amen. That's right. But I'm telling you this, all of them are preserved. All of them are preserved. Elder V.H. Hooks, who was senator from the state of Georgia. I was over there preaching one time, and he had come over here and preached for me a time or two, and I went over to New Hope Church over near Lexi, Georgia, and five joined the church over there that day. Hadn't been anybody joined the church in a long, long time. Five went over there. He came back over there, and he got up, and he said, Brother Ricky caught five fish while he was over here the other day. He said, but three of them rotted on the string. Well, all of them didn't make the grade. And I want to tell you right now, some of you here today, you better be careful because you may not make the grade. But thank God for the justifying work of Christ. Whether you make the grade or not, it won't void that work. It cannot void the work. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Notice the terminology. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. You were an enemy to God. Get that in your mind. For if when we were enemies to God, we were reconciled. That is, brought together again. You know what being reconciled is? Somebody said, get reconciled. Well, you know, I've been in the cattle business a long time, and I tried to halter break a calf one time. And I found out that wasn't my best options. And finally, I hooked the tractor behind him, or in front of him, put the halter on him, and I drug him around the barn lot two or three times. Daddy said, drag him around again, and after a while, he'll get reconciled to it. Well, he never did get reconciled to it. And I did all the tractor work and all the labor work. But I want to tell you right now, my friends, when you're reconciled to God, God doesn't have to go around working with you day after day to reconcile you. But I'm going to tell you, in one stroke of the work of God, you were reconciled to God. That wall of partition was broken down, and you stand today with a place before God's own hand. And as we have an entrance into that very presence of God, you do that not to get reconciled, but because you are reconciled. A work that's already complete. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more than being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know, the life of the Son of God was a strange life, wasn't it? It was. Every time that the Lord Jesus would do a miracle, here would come somebody along from the Pharisees, the scribes, or the Sadducees, or some of those other zealots that were there, and they'd try to mock him. They tried to bring a conflict in his teaching. Now, they were doing it legally, all right, because they were legalists. But I want to tell you, brother, everybody that's seeking legality is not always seeking spirituality. Not always seeking spirituality. I affirm to you today that when Jesus came into the world, he did not come trying to reconcile. He did not come trying to justify. He did not come trying to save, but he saved those whom he sought and sought those whom he saved. And how wonderful it is today that I can stand here with a great message and say that you have been saved by his life and reconciled by his death. How many times do you hear that from the average pulpit? The average pulpit in the United States today. I was telling you, I had a funeral yesterday there at Rainsville, and I had another brother that was with me, fine men. I've known them all their lives, and they're good people. But he stood up before I got up. And I'm sometimes glad to come last in a funeral because I can straighten out the mess somebody else made. You know, I'm being honest with you. Don't tell me you're not like that. You know, don't tell me you're not. I know better. I've been around too long. Some of these young preachers might not know it, but y'all do. I want to tell you, I want to come last. I want to fix whatever these other folks mess up. All right? Well, young man got up and he said, this man had lived a life that wasn't honoring to God for a long time, but last Tuesday I stood before him and led him to Christ before he died. Let me tell you something, my friend. God doesn't need your help to lead somebody to Christ. He doesn't need your help, microphones, money, machinery. He doesn't need that. Why? Because God is faithful to the promise. God is faithful to the determination that he made before the foundation of the world. And I'll tell you today, my friend, that those who... Now, let me tell you this. I know Romans says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You can drag a log. You can drag a piece of cement. But anything that's led has got life. Anything that is led has life. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are, not will be, but they are the sons of God. We're his offspring, if you please, a part of his family. And not only so, but we joy in God. You know, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible tells us, these things write I unto you that your joy may be full. That your joy. You know, I'm glad I can come to church and feel better when I left than I did when I got there. I'm glad when you sing those old songs that stir my heart and cause my mind to reflect upon that which I've heard and that which I've learned. I'll tell you today that when I can close my eyes and hear those old men that I came up under began to preach, and I can understand it now better than I could then, joy fills my soul. That's what the gospel does for us. Doesn't scare us. Doesn't scare us. Say, are you sure you know? Are you sure, brother, before you die? Are you know? Brother, I got a better story for you than that. I got a better story for you than that. I'll tell you, I'm not so much sure about me, but I'm sure about him. I'm sure about Christ. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Hymenaeus and Philetus came and preached that the resurrection was past already. And Brother Mackey, he overthrew the faith of some. That can happen. They didn't persevere. But I want to tell you right now, it didn't change a thing, did it? Didn't change one thing. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. You know, I'm a notary public for the state of Alabama. And I've got a seal with my name on it. And I've got an authorization. And it's a legal authorization. And I can put my seal upon a legal document. And I'll tell you right now today, because you've been justified and reconciled, you've been sealed with the promise of God that cannot be undone, that cannot be changed. And when the Bible said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. That doesn't mean he just recognized them, Tim. That means he knows them in an intimate way. In an intimate way. And when he says here, not only so, but we also joy in God. Therefore with joy shall I draw of those blessings, shall I draw water from the wells of salvation, says Isaiah chapter 26. Draw water from the wells of salvation. You know, when the enemy had overtaken the land where Abraham was, and they went back to there, do you know what they did? And they filled up the wells. They filled up the wells. But do you know when they went back there, they dug again in them old wells. Now I'll tell you, Brother Glennon, we need today to dig in those old wells again. I trust that we'll never find ourselves drifting away from the grand old doctrines of grace. I trust today that we'll never find ourselves wavering from that, because that's the foundation that standeth sure. The foundation that standeth sure, that has this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. What a blessing that is today. I remember when you began to read over in the, give me about 10 more minutes and let's see what we can do. Here he says this. He says in Acts chapter 17, listen now at what took place here. The Bible says this. Now, the Bible says, now when they had passed through these particular places, they came to Thessalonica, and there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scripture. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed. So says the Bible. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. I've got to skip some things here. But I want to come down to where Paul comes up to the Supreme Court. And the Bible says that Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, verse 22, and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. To the unknown God. And he said about this, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him I declare unto you. What a wonderful statement. God, the God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth and dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands. The Bible says this, and he comes on down through here, and as he begins to relate his own experience, he says this, the times of this ignorance, God winked at. He winked at it. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God winked at it. Do you understand what that means? That don't mean he batted one eye. But what it does mean is this, that God suffered them to go in their own way. God suffered them to go in their own way. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Now somebody says, preacher, that says all men ought to repent everywhere. I want to tell you something. All men that believe like they did and did what they did ought to repent. They ought to repent. The Bible begins to say this, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. You see what he said? He said he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world. You think he's talking about this physical world? Why, no. He's talking about the world of his people, the world of the elect family of God. He's going to judge them, all right. You're going to be judged. Here's the reason. Somebody said, well, I thought you just said you'd already been judged. In the mind and purpose of God, you have been judged. You're already judged righteous on the work of Jesus Christ. And here is the reason I drive from Fort Payne, Alabama to Gordo, Alabama tonight, is to tell you that in that last great day, when God Almighty, who is judge, counselor, and jury, shall rise up to charge you for every sin that you've committed, and he's got a perfect record-keeping system, and he knows you inside and out, brother, here's the reason I've come tonight, is to tell you that when God rises up to charge you for every sin that you've committed, thank God, we'll have a friend in the court. We'll have a friend in the court to say this crowd's been justified, to say they've been judged righteous on the account of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will not disembark God's plan or bring his glory down to say, I passed over these. I passed over these. Yeah, I passed them over. God wasn't obligated to do a thing for you. Some people have the idea that God's obligated to save you if you're doing the best you can. I want to tell you, my friend, you can do the best you can. It's not enough. You can do the best you can. It'll never be enough. It's not enough to satisfy a holy God. But I'll tell you one thing. When Jesus died, it was enough. When Christ died, it was enough. It'll not have to be done again. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified or set apart. Perfected forever them that are sanctified. Tonight, I tell you today, and tonight I tell you this today, that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns the second time unto salvation, and you're pronounced justified just like you've already been, I affirm to you that there shall be a resurrection both of the just and of the unjust. And the just and the unjust shall be judged. Their works follow them who are unjust. They prove what they are. But I want to tell you right now that you tonight have been justified through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that blood redemption, and then that we have received the atonement. Get it now. Through all of that, we have received the atonement, the covering. Listen to what he says, the covering. He speaks and notice. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We've not only now been justified, we're not only now in God's mind glorified, but also we have received the atonement. Received it. You received something you didn't ask for. All right? You receive something you didn't ask for. If I told this here before, I don't know whether I have. We have a restaurant at Ider, Alabama. And there's a lady that's been running the restaurant for many years, and she's one of the finest old Baptists I know. And there's people come from all over the country to eat breakfast there. Starts at 5, ended up at lunchtime. Truck driver came through. He was from Wisconsin. And he ordered breakfast. She brought it all out there, brought him his coffee. Then she brought him his gravy and biscuits and his eggs. And then she brought him a bowl of white stuff called grits. He said, "What's this?" She said, "It's grits." She said, "What's that?" He didn't know what grits was. He said, "I didn't order grits." She said, "Brother, let me tell you something. Grits is like grace. It comes whether you ask for it or not." Well, I want to tell you that's how the atonement was. You got it whether you asked for it or not. You were enemies to God. You wasn't looking for the grits. You wasn't looking for the grace, but you got it just the same. And with an involuntary obedience, you obeyed the call. You obeyed that call with an involuntary obedience. That is an obedience that is above and beyond the ability of man to perform on his own. Now, we ought to obey God rather than man. That's something you do. That's something you do. But I want to tell you right now, when Lazarus was called and Jesus said, "Come forth," did Lazarus have to give the consent of his will in order to make the voice of Christ effective? 1,000. You got more sense than that. You know better than that. He obeyed, but with an obedience that was involuntary. When Jesus went out on the deck of that ship and said, "Peace be still," and those disciples looked around and said, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey his voice?" Did the wind and the seas have to give the consent of their will in order for the voice of the Lord to be effective? No, sir. But the voice of the Lord is effective. It is effectual. That's the reason we call it the effectual call. It has a power built in to perform a designed end. And I want to tell you, one of these days when the Lord returns the second time without sin unto salvation, he will speak to these bodies that lay in this old cemetery right out here where our tears have wet the ground so many times. But I want to tell you right now that these bodies that lay in this silent city of the dead, they shall obey the voice of the Son of God with an obedience that is above and beyond their ability to perform. They shall come forth at the command of he who stilled storms and dealt with men in an individual way. Amen. Because we have now receive the atonement. Thank you, and may God bless you, Brother Chris.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.